21. Listen for the word of the Lord. Peter is going to preach right after the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The crowd gathered thought the disciples were drunk because they were speaking in different languages. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And so now he's going to quote Joel from the Old Testament. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Elaine, we are loving having you here. I'm going to continue on with Peter's sermon. He started by quoting Joel, and now he's going to start preaching. So hear again the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Acts chapter 2, now verses 22 to 36. Listen for the word of the Lord. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power and wonders and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, now he's quoting Psalm 16, like a good pastor, he's quoting scripture. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. David said, you have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, said Peter, may I say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. David's waiting for the promised Messiah. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he is not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. And so he sees David as prophesying about the coming Messiah. This Jesus God raised up. And of that, all of us are witnesses. We were there. We saw it, says Peter. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear, the Holy Spirit. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, we ask that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Okay. What is saving your life right now? What is saving your life right now? Barbara Brown Taylor, she's a noted speaker and author. In her book, Altar in the World, which is a fantastic book, by the way, she talks about how she's invited by a priest in Alabama to come speak. And she says to him, "What do you want me to talk about?" And he says, "Just come and tell us what is saving your life right now." She writes in her book, "It was as if he swept his arm across the dusty table and brushed all the formal china to the ground. I did not have to try to say correct things that were true for everyone. I did not have to use theological language that conformed to the historical teachings of the church. All I had to do was figure out what my life depended on. All I had to do was figure out how I stayed close to that reality as I could, and then find a way to talk about it in a way that helped my listeners figure out those same things for themselves." What is saving your life right now? Here in Acts chapter 2, we're in the middle of the chapter. Pentecost has arrived. Pentecost is the day we celebrate of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus has ascended into heaven. It's 50 days after the resurrection. The disciples are gathered in a room. There's the sound of the rushing of wind, and suddenly they begin to speak about God's love for all people in all different languages. And we're told that the people who were there, they were in Jerusalem. They would have been from all over the world. Those people gathered there heard about God's love for them in their own language. And we're told that they are amazed. In fact, they were amazed, but they didn't totally understand what was going on. And so Peter begins to preach. I am excited to tell you that this is just one of over 30 sermons given by Peter or Paul in the book of Acts. And Luke uses these sermons to help us understand what is happening, just like the gathered apostles shared the sermons to help people understand what was happening. And so you got to hear Peter's sermon as it is recorded in Acts. Now, I noticed when I was reading it, you weren't exactly captivated by his amazing sermon. And by modern day standards, Peter's sermon is, you know, a little boring, maybe. No funny jokes, no amazing illustrations, no like really poignant take home, you know, thoughts for you. But in Peter's day, he was rhetorically right on. So if you read a scholarly paper about this or cracked open a Bible study book, they would tell you that Peter's sermon was a perfectly philosophical sermon for his day, that he did a great job. And he started by quoting Joel. Now, he quoted Joel because most of the good Jewish people there would have absolutely identified with this passage in Joel. They would have known what he was talking about. It would have been like reading the Christmas story to them. Because this passage in Joel is a time that they prophesy about the coming Messiah. And so basically they say, when the Messiah that you've been waiting for, like for generations, for thousands of years, when that Messiah comes, Joel says, this is what the last days will be like. And one of the things he tells them, right, is that the sons and the daughters, they will prophesy, that your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. What an awesome image. And so Joel is telling them what to expect when their Messiah finally arrives. So Peter's second point in his sermon is, this is the time. This is the day. The Messiah arrived. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. He did amazing works among you, and you killed him. You killed him. You messed up. But, says Peter, he was too powerful for the grave. He overcame the grave. Now he sits at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf, but he's also with you today. And as Christians, we know that's a mystery. How can Jesus be up there and with us? That's a holy mystery. But Peter says he's now up there and he's also with us now. Don't miss it. This Holy Spirit thing that just happened, this is God with you. This is the Messiah you've been waiting for with you. And all who call on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. So what's saving you? What's saving your life right now? What person, place, thing, activity is saving your life right now? It could be a morning cup of coffee. It could be a great book you're reading this summer. It could be a friendship. It could be your spouse. It could be that grandkid in your life. It could be the boat you're building in your garage. What's saving your life right now? Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World, gives us permission to name that very thing that our life depends on. What's that thing? What's that person, we would say as Christians, that your life depends on right now? Father God, Mother God, Spirit, Jesus, Holy One, name that which your life depends on right now. And then name the person, place, thing, activity in your life that is helping you best abide in that Spirit. And she's giving us permission to not worry if your saving grace isn't in tune with the great theology of the Presbyterian Church. And she's giving us permission to not be concerned if my answer isn't like yours. What is it? What's saving your life right now? The good news of the gospel for us this morning is pretty straightforward. God is with you. God is with us. Always has been, always will be. God is with us. And on this holiday weekend, it might be helpful to notice that God might be present with us, and the signs of God's presence with us might be best felt at a 4th of July party, at a barbecue, at a family reunion this summer, as God's presence is felt with us around this table. Could a 4th of July picnic mediate the presence of Christ as well as this table does in our life? And is that an okay thing to admit to? Because brisket and hot dogs are involved, right? So what Peter is doing in this sermon is he is basically telling them, don't miss it like you missed it before. Messiah came, you'd waited forever, you couldn't wait, he showed up, you killed him. Okay, he's back. Maybe notice that he's here so that you don't miss him again. Peter just wants them to notice what's been in their life always, but they just kept missing that the Savior was present in their midst. And maybe in ways they didn't expect, like some Holy Spirit fire. How do you know that it's God that you're experiencing in that moment when you pick a wonderful ripe tomato from your garden? How do you know it's God? Well, you know it's God because it fills your heart with gladness. That's what David talks about in Psalm 16 right here that Peter quotes. He says, my heart is filled with gladness at your presence in my life. Peter testified that as broken humans, we can miss what's right in front of our eyes, that the Messiah is with us and was with us all along. I'm here to testify that thing that brings joy and gladness to your heart right now is absolutely God with you. It's God with you. Whether it's binge-watching Netflix, whether it's your place at this table, that in your life that's filling your heart with joy is God with you. Let us pray. Almighty and holy God, like the people of Acts, we can miss what's right in front of us. We can miss you, your presence in our life, the saving graces that we need. Thank you for the little things, O Lord, that save us each day. Thank you that you are with us always. Continue to be our saving grace. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.